Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live, and we have the daughter of a Hollywood legend, Bette Davis's daughter, Bebe Hyman, on today. She's had an amazing journey, my wife and I have watched a lot of classic films. And one of the films that we've enjoyed, and I know you've all enjoyed, is the Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Bebe is in that film. She's the lovely next-door neighbor working with her mom on that film. She's had an incredible journey, a conversion and a calling on her life. She's now a pastor, and we're going to find out how she went from Hollywood to Hollywood in this journey, from Bette Davis' daughter to now B.D. Hyman, pastor. We'll be back in about a half a minute. And by the way, a lot of you listening, we all come from families that are dysfunctional in some way or another. And she has really recovered from and learned some spiritual keys to recover from having a mother that was could be difficult or had these issues, whatever they, however you would describe them, the dominance or the inability maybe to give love or the narcissism, however I could diagnose Bette Davis. But many of you listening out there have called in when we've talked about these subjects about the pain from a parent. And so I don't care if they're a Hollywood star or a secretary or a doctor or a bricklayer or a plumber. Mother is mother, and dysfunctional issues are dysfunctional issues, and I think you'll get a lot from her story, not just from the Hollywood. If you're not a Hollywood aficionado, some of these issues we'll be talking about, I think, will really apply as well. We'll be right back with Bette Davis' daughter, B.D. Hyman. Don't go anywhere. Back in 20 seconds at Richard Rossi Live. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and welcome, B.D. Hyman. How are you, B.D.?
Great. Wonderful to be with you.
It's wonderful to be with you. You're now a pastor in Virginia, in Charlottesville, was it?
Yes. Yes, so the ministry is more worldwide than it is local. It always has been. In the beginning of this ministry, I traveled all over the world. And then the Lord allowed me to get off the road and stay in one place, which I was very grateful for. But I reach out literally all over the world. We have members of our church who are in Australia, in Europe, in South America, everywhere. It's just, it's wonderful.
That is wonderful. And by the way, those of you listening would like to check out BD's free video and audio teachings, biblical teachings, go to B.D. Hyman,
B.D.com.
Hyman.com, H-Y-M-A-N. Well, by the way, is it calmed down there in Charlottesville, I imagine, from all the drama there?
Pretty much. We stay separate from most of it. We don't live right in town. We live outside.
Uh-huh.
And we just kind of let the world go crazy and stay away from it and delight ourselves in the fact that no matter what goes on, the Lord has his protection around us, as he does all believers. It's kind of hard for people in the world to realize that. It's hard for some Christians to realize that because their teaching that they receive is so bad, frankly, that the Lord does protect us. And if we do it his way, now if we get silly and do it the way we want to do it and get involved, then that's a whole different thing. But if we stay separate from it and let the world be the world and concern ourselves with what God wants us to do, then we don't have anything to be concerned about, let alone fearful of.
Mm. Well, that's really needed to hear today with all the crazy stuff going on.
Well, yes, because the world is just terrified of most everything now, and they have good reason to be. I mean, there are horrible things going on, and it's not going to get better. It's going to continue to get worse, and it's a very simple reason for that. People are always asking, you know, why is the world the way it is? Why doesn't God do something about it? Well, God's going to do something about it. It's called the Great Tribulation, which is, I believe, soon to come. But for the time being, we have to realize that Satan is the god of this world. He is dictating the attitude of people who have not separated from the world and learned how to think God's way. And if they let the devil teach them how to think, then they're going to be terrified. They're going to be oppressed and harmed in every way. And there is an answer. There is a way out. There is a way to live in peace and in joy and in health and wholeness. But most people want to do things their own way, and their own way isn't going to get them there.
Well, it's amazing, the journey to where you are now and your understanding now, from starting as in Hollywood, your mother, a great actress. We saw recently the old film that you were in, and you were so lovely in it, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. What was that like? What was your childhood? What was your life like growing up in that
environment? Well, thank you. Actually, it was a rather strange movie. Mother was in a terrible slump in her career, and that's why she took that movie. And it's become kind of a cult classic, but it was an odd movie, to say the least. But I am very grateful to that movie, because my husband's company produced that movie, and that's how I met him.
Is that how you and your husband met then?
That's how I met him, because of that movie. And
wow.
So we've been married now for 53 years. And so I'm
Congratulations.
Delighted.
Congratulations.
Yes, well, thank you. It was an amazing sequence of events. But growing up with Mother and in Hollywood, as they call it, I really never fit. No one there was happy. Everybody was narcissistic, and the immorality was everywhere. I loved my mother, but I recognized that she was very twisted and determined to destroy everyone around her. That was what she wanted to do. She wanted to overpower and destroy everyone. And so it was not the life I wanted. And at the time I was a child, of course, I had no choice, but my escape was my horses. I rode horses and showed horses and hunted horses and fox hunted. And so that was my escape. But I knew I wanted to live a different life than that, eventually, because it just was nothing that I saw in it that was what I wanted.
It was, you mentioned the narcissism, and it seemed like that, that same quality that Hollywood would look at as an asset, that kind of, self-absorption or presence or diva quality in a sense. Of course, she was a great actress and gifted in that way. To live with someone like that, though, as a daughter, I imagine that must have been very tough, because the narcissism of Hollywood is it's all about me, but having a good mother-daughter relationship, there's a mutuality where it's supposed to be about love one another. So that must have been challenging, not to put words in your mouth.
Well, it was very challenging in every respect that you can think of, but Mother had kind of an added little twist in that she was heavily into the occult. And so I was dealing not only with the narcissism, and that's something that anybody who's in that business has to have. If you're going to be a famous actor, that's something you have to have, or you just don't succeed. And so there was that, but there was also the occult. And I'm really grateful to God that long before I ever knew him or factored him in at all, he protected me from her witchcraft and from her influence. The grooming that I was under from her didn't take. And so I look back on it now, and I'm so grateful that it didn't, because that was her intention, was to have me be a clone of her.
Yeah, I mean, there's you had the if you don't mind me saying, you had the natural stuff to do it. You're I watched the film and I think, wow, the looks to have been the star. You were a natural actor, as one who's directed films. I thought you did a great job in the part. So you could have went down that track, but you mentioned the occult and witchcraft. What can you tell us about that when you say there was witchcraft and occult involved?
Oh, well, she used to stage her own seances and in her own form, her own little rituals, where if somebody annoyed her, and it was not hard to annoy my mother, she got annoyed at almost everything, she would go into one of her satanic rituals, mumbling in strange languages and burning articles of clothing that she had someone take from this person, and speaking destruction over their lives, which did manifest. And, you know, I look back on it now and I can see exactly what it was. It was the occult. She never acknowledged the power of Satan any more than she acknowledged the power of God. But Satan will work with that. He doesn't care. And so, you know, she just absolutely was bent on this path. And so the thing that always amazed me was when years later I spent some time witnessing to her after I met Jesus, and her bottom line response to all of it was, and she meant this, if God exists, he works for me. So
wow.
That was her view of the world. And it was really extraordinary, almost to the point of being comical, if it weren't so serious. It was sort of like a bad movie that she concocted daily. But, you know, it was through all of it, I managed to enjoy life, and God saw to it that I met my husband, and we met in Europe at the opening at the Cannes Film Festival of Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. He was one of the producers. And it was just a supernatural thing. Neither one of us knew anything about the Lord, but we fell in love instantly. We laugh because, you know, people are portrayed as, you know, just falling in love immediately, love at first sight. And that's what happened to us. And it's still there. So the Lord really set that up, and the circumstances in which we met were unusual, to say the least, even in my unusual world. And actually, I have a teaching and a tape set called Long Day's Journey into Light that is on my website, on bdhyman.com. And it's my entire testimony from when I was a child and what that was like all the way through my conversion to Christianity and on through to, you know, the all the miracles that I received. Well, most of the miracles. There were so many, it was hard to keep them all lined up. But it was really an extraordinary thing. And we were married, and fortunately, God chose so well, aside from the fact that we were meant to be together, because my husband is an Englishman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very difficult to intimidate an Englishman. If you've ever known the English, they know who they are, and they don't push. And so Mother never managed to intimidate Jeremy, which was something that upset her constantly. She tried her best, but it didn't work.
So it worked with almost everybody but Jeremy, huh?
Well, yeah, she intimidated everyone. She was a very ferocious person, and she didn't intimidate him, and we managed to have a marriage in spite of her, and we moved around to get away from her quite a lot because she kept moving wherever we were. But in 1984, after we'd been married for 20 years, we had two sons. We were living on our horse farm in Pennsylvania. Jesus came and found us, literally. And as I said, I have this testimony all on tape. There's a lot of detail to it.
Mm, that's
but
great. Well,
I never had any interest.
BDHyman.com, we can get that. BDHyman.com.
BDHyman.com, you can get Long Day's Journey into Light as well
Long
as
days.
All the end time teaching. And it explains everything. Because I never had bit of interest
in religion.
By the way,
where in Pennsylvania was your horse farm? I'm a native.
We were in northeast Pennsylvania, about 60 miles southwest of Scranton.
Okay.
And it was very rural. We picked it deliberately. It was out in the middle of nowhere, more cows than people.
What town?
And we had our horse farm there and loved it. And the kids loved it. And as I said, I had no interest in religion. I saw religion as what caused most of the problems in the world. And religion still does, not Jesus. But I didn't know there was a difference between religion and Jesus. And Jesus gives us a relationship with him, which is awesome, and it's life-changing, and it just is extraordinary. And it has very little to do with what most people in the world see in religion. Religion is something that causes terrible, terrible things.
Yeah, the scripture
Jesus
talks
is not
about
responsible
the letter
for that.
The letter of the law killeth, but the spirit gives life, and he ran afoul
exactly.
of the religious people time and time again. He had to confront the religious people and say, woe unto you. By the way,
yes.
I'm just curious, being a Pennsylvanian, do you remember the town that you used to have the farm in?
Yeah, well, we were in Lacyville, actually.
Lacyville, okay.
Which is near Wyalusing.
Mm.
These towns were all a few hundred people. These
and
were not
wonderful, wonderful, wonderful towns and wonderful people. It's a beautiful, beautiful. Eastern Pennsylvania is one of my favorite places in the world.
Well, it is gorgeous. It's the weather is intense. The winters are really, really cold and snowy. But it's a beautiful place, and we loved it for a time. We stayed there for a time and then moved on. But it was a great place to be. And that's where Jesus came and found us, which I'm ever grateful for. He actually sent a man to our mountaintop farm in the middle of a January blizzard, which sounds, again, like a rather very trite sort of script, but it really happened. And he began sharing his relationship with the Lord with us. And for the first time in my entire life, I suddenly had an interest. I wanted to know. I wanted to understand. And he talked about Jesus separate and apart from religion. And so I began to see the difference. And that's why we've put all of our teachings on our website, on bdhyman.com, for free, because we want anybody who's interested to be able to access the real truth of the gospel, not religious stuff, not manipulative stuff, not send me all your money so I can have gold faucets and airplanes, just real down-to-earth who Jesus really was and is. And it's awesome. And people who really meet him see the difference and they understand. But unfortunately, the church has failed. And I really sympathize with people out there who would really kind of like to know who God is, but they don't want to get near churches because the church has failed. It's corrupt. It's perverted. And it's a shame because, that's, again, the God of this world. Satan usurped that from Adam in the garden, has perverted religion right along with everything else. So this is what we try to combat in this ministry. The Lord told me when I answered his call to become a minister, which I resisted for a while, and he finally convinced me. But he said, look, you can tell people what they want to hear, like everybody else, and you can have a huge ministry. You can have a ministry as big as anybody out there. Or you can tell the truth. And only the few with ears to hear will want to listen to you. And since it was a very easy decision, because I wasn't trying to build a business, I was trying to tell the truth. And the truth is all that matters. But sadly, most people don't know there's a difference.
Well, the truth will set us free, and I really resonate with that theme as well, because we're making a film about the false versus the true. And now, tell me the calling on your life, the conversion on your life. This man is witnessing to you about Jesus as you and your husband Jeremy are on the farm in Pennsylvania. And you ask Jesus into your life. You become a born-again Christian. Unless a person's born again, the scripture says they cannot see the kingdom of God. And here you are, daughter of this Hollywood legend. Did the crap hit the fan, excuse my French, when you go back to Mom Betty Davis or to Hollywood friends or to the family and say, guess what, you all need to know this Jesus? What happened?
Well, we're all a little out of control when we first become born again. We need to go away to a mountaintop for a few months until we calm down, because we kind of hit everybody with this wonderful new discovery of ours, you know, as though they're going to believe it just because we said it. So we're a little too intense at first. But I had a lot of good teaching from the man the Lord sent us, and one of them was, look, don't try and convert everyone. Just learn who Jesus is and what he's all about, and just let things happen. And as I said, I did witness to my mother after a while. I went to see her and talked to her about the Lord, and she listened for a while, which always made me a little suspicious because mother wasn't good at listening. And then afterwards she said, well, my dear, I'm glad that you think this is all just so ducky, but I just have news for you. If God exists, he works for me.
Wow.
And I just started to laugh, and I said, well, there's really nowhere to go with that, Mother, so we'll just change the subject and talk about something else. And in spite of the fact that I almost immediately received the physical miracle from the Lord, I had a crippling disease in the short ligaments in my spine, and they were rupturing and rotting and falling away systematically. And I lived on pain pills and muscle relaxers and all sorts of things just to be able to get around. And it was incurable, it was irreversible, and it was progressive. And they told me that I, you know, by the time I was 40, at that time I was 36, that I would be in a wheelchair and have to even wear a back brace just to be able to sit up because I wouldn't have anything to do that with. And so the first miracle that the Lord did in my physical life, the miracle, obviously, of being born again was the number one, but he completely healed and restored my back, completely, 100%,
wow.
As though I'd never had a problem. And the doctors that I'd been working with were astonished. They didn't believe it was a miracle. They just didn't understand what was going on and kind of went away. But my back went back to being fully strong, healthy. I was able to work on the farm again. I was able to ride my horses without any limitations again. And, you know, that's actually what convinced my husband, because that happened a few weeks after I was born again, and he was kind of looking at this intellectually and saying, well, that's very interesting, but I really don't know about it. And when I received the miracle of the healing of my back, that's what convinced him. And he said, this is a miracle, and if there's a miracle, it must be because of Jesus, and so I accept him for who he is, and that's what convinced him. But it didn't convince my mother. She thought that I had just imagined the whole thing, obviously, because that couldn't happen. Mm. But anyway, it wasn't important to convince her. It was just fantastic to be able to move about normally again.
So you have this 100% healing of the spine issues, the back. Mom doesn't buy it, but it convinces husband, like in the Gospels, the healings that Jesus did would make many believe in him. It made Jeremy believe. Just out of curiosity, you mentioned your mother with the occult and the witchcraft. What was her religious background? What was you and Jeremy's religious background prior to?
Basically none. I mean, I guess the world would describe it as being agnostics.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't as definitive as saying we were atheists. But we didn't know whether God was or he wasn't. We didn't know if it mattered what name people called him. And we didn't really care. Total apathy. Mother had no religious background at all. We didn't. My husband went to school in England. You know, the upper class in England go to schools where they go to chapel twice a week. 6 days a week and twice on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Probably
and
Anglican,
so they had
I might guess. Do you think it was Anglican,
yeah,
perhaps?
Yeah, Anglican church. They had to go to chapel. That was required. And so they went 6 days a week, twice on Sunday. And they all just kind of put up with it. And none of it, of course, it's a dead church anyway. So there wasn't really anything there to get involved with spiritually. But he always said he escaped from church. He didn't just graduate from school. And so that was the limit of his interest. And thereafter had none, and I had none, and we decided to have our wedding in a church just because it was traditional and pretty, not
mm-hmm.
because of any spiritual conviction, and we didn't go to church, never had, and actually that was an advantage when I met the Lord, because I didn't have any false religious doctrine to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is so much in all the churches, and I'm talking Christian churches here, that is just wrong. It doesn't line up with Scripture. It isn't the Word of God. God is not represented the way He truly is. And so all these churches have what I call their designer gods, who they think God is. And I didn't have to overcome any of these lies and twisted ideas, because I just read the Bible for the first time in my life and took it literally. And it's amazing how much easier that is than having all of this brainwashing to overcome. So I was able to take Jesus literally at his word. If he said it, it was true, and I believed it, and therefore it happened in my life. And it sounds impossibly simple, and yet it's true. And so a lot of what I do with this ministry, and now that I'm doing it more through the internet, and I know the internet's used for a lot of evil, but it's also a very good tool for good things as well. And I talk to people all the time who are astonished that there's a greater truth that they've been looking for all their lives and never found, because they've been listening to religion and they've been getting frustrated. And instead of learning what this is really all about, they've listened to these leaders who have lied to them, and they blame God for all of their problems. And it's not God's fault. If we do it his way, we get his results. And his only desire is to bless us. That's it. Since Jesus came and became our Savior and took every horrible thing upon himself on the cross so we wouldn't have to, then that became an available life apart from the destruction of the world. And God is not the problem, ever. He doesn't cause the problems, and he doesn't even allow them. He doesn't allow the destructive storms like this thing in Texas right now, or the riots that were in Charlottesville a week ago or so. He doesn't allow these things. He certainly doesn't cause them. That's the world being the world. He shows us the way out of it, even while we're here. We're in the world, but we're not of it. And we can actually live in a stress-free zone. We can live free from fear and free from destruction if we do it God's way. But there are very few people who really want to do that. And my aim is to try and help people, both Christians and people who have not made a decision of any kind yet, secular people, people apart from the Lord, to help them see the reality of Christ and realize how wonderful it is and what they're missing, and to get real about it, get simple about it, get straightforward about it, and not have all of the religious trappings that mean nothing. And I don't blame people for running away from the church, because there's nothing there. I found that out very quickly after I became born again. It wasn't long before I said, I don't want any part of any of these churches. None of them is what Jesus came to bring us. And so that's the purpose of this ministry, is to cut through all of the garbage and bring people to the reality. The thing that the Lord said to me when I first agreed to go into ministry was, he said two things, and it was audible. He said, I want you to remove the religious garbage and give life. And he also said, I want you to feed my starving lambs, because most Christians are starving for the truth. They've never heard it. They don't know it. They know little bits of it, but not the real guts of it. And so that's the exciting thing to me, is to help people see Jesus apart from religion.
What would you say, Leedy, to someone listening, be they a Christian or maybe not, maybe they're agnostic as you once were, or maybe they're from a different background that says, you know, I had a Bette Davis mom. She might not have been a famous actress, but
mm-hmm.
it was all about her. She couldn't give the love I needed. You know, everything revolved around them. They, if God exists, he worked for them in their mind. What would you say to someone damaged by that longing to get that love from their mother or that approbation or approval?
Well, what
they,
I would say is, number one, come face to face with the fact that if you have that type of parent, you're never going to get that love. They don't have it to give. The only one who does is God.
Mm.
And God the Father is the greatest father that ever was. His love is unconditional. Yes, if we want to be blessed, we have to do things his way because we have to put ourselves in a position where God can override the destruction of this world on our behalf. And that's, you know, that's the crux of this. But it's not about rules and regulations. God gives us the love that most people are searching for and will never find because human beings are so flawed. And when someone has dealt with this, I've watched people spend their whole lives desperately trying to get approval, let alone love, from their parent or parents, and
mm-hmm.
failing dismally, and it destroys them. It
mm-hmm.
destroys their self-esteem, their joy, their peace, everything. And then they pass that on to their children and their children and their children. And the only way out of this, and this is the first thing the Lord had me minister at the beginning of this ministry, this is the thing that I helped people with initially before I moved on to other areas and the whole gospel, is this controlling spirit. And as you said, it doesn't matter if someone's a famous actress or if they're, someone filling grocery bags at the corner store. That spirit. See, this is all about spiritual warfare, and when the more you understand it, the easier it is to understand. And that spirit, that controlling, vile spirit that is so destructive in so many lives is the same no matter who it's in. The demonic presence, which is what drives all of this, is the same. And the good news is, if you become part of Christ and really understand the truth and walk in it, you have the authority to grab these things by the throat, these demons, and kick them out of your life. Can't get them off the planet. They're here. But you can get them out of your life. And that's the thing. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to be just beaten down and depressed. You don't have to have your self-esteem destroy. You don't have to have rejection issues and all of this. I mean, there are people who have been molested by parents, raped by parents, and it's horrible. My stepfather was one of those. And so, you know, the thing is that you cannot let that define the rest of your life. Yes, it happened. But one of the great things that God says in the Bible, which is such a freeing thing, is we must put the past to death. So if you were hurt, if you were raped by your father or your big brother or whoever, if you were abused in any number of ways, yes, it happened. But in Christ, in the natural realm, you're never going to get over it. You're going to be a victim all your life because those demons are going to stay attached to you. But the reality is when you come to Christ, you will have authority over those demons, and you have the authority to kick them out and send them back to the pit of hell where they came from and live the life and be the person that God intended you to be. And you're no longer a victim, and none of it matters. I mean, I think back when we're having discussions like this on my mother, my stepfather, all sorts of people in my life who were really horrible. But I have no emotion attached to it anymore because that is the past, and the past is truly dead. And I've long since moved on and have a wonderful life. My life is in Christ. I have a wonderful husband. I have two wonderful grown sons who both had their challenges. My older son was delivered from what the world calls hopeless manic depression, bipolar personality. He had a chemical imbalance in his brain, which started when he was in college, and he was just completely insane and was violent and every other thing you can imagine. And so he was, when I learned enough, finally, he was delivered, and he's been of sound mind and a wonderful man of God ever since. And my younger son went into rebellion for a while because of things that the devil was doing in our lives. And he saw the truth through prayer, and he came around, came back to Christ and back to us, and he's an awesome man of God, is part of the ministry, and is just a wonderful blessing. This is who God is, and this is what he wants to do in everyone's life if they let him. But most people won't let him.
Now, earlier you had said that you had traveled, you and your husband Jeremy, as far as even a rural farm, and I got the feeling that for you and Jeremy to thrive, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I got the feeling, kind of reading the subtext, that you've been married 53 years, and in order to have a long marriage, coming from Hollywood, Mom Betty Davis, I think, was married maybe four times or so, if I remember her biography. And so to have a 53-year marriage is kind of the polar opposite of Hollywood culture, where that is very, very rare. I got the feeling, in addition to recovering from mom's dysfunction, that to create a healthy family for you and Jeremy and your two sons, you had to have boundaries or detach a bit from mother. And I bring that up not just because of her being this legendary actress, but because I think for a lot of us, there's this thing our culture puts on us that it's good manners to, you know, not offend family or relatives or, but,
yeah.
You know, I
yeah,
have
but you know
said
what Jesus
the,
says
the
about
first three
that?
Letters
Jesus
of manners
says,
is man, M-A-N. And
yeah,
sometimes,
no, it's a bondage.
You know,
it's a bondage.
Yeah.
Jesus says the enemies of a man will be of his own household. And that is as true can be. And so we have to separate. If our family members are oppressive, we have to get away from them. This whole blood is thicker than water thing is a human invention. Religion invented it. People invented it. God didn't. God says that we have to be free. And that means free from all oppression, all that will hurt us. And if most people have, if they're going to be living the life that God wants them to live, they are not obligated to stay with their family members who are horrible. They're not obligated to stay oppressed. That is not the way God intended it to be. We have a family when we're born again. We become part of the body of Christ, the family of God. And that's the family that we have to put first. But we cannot be oppressed by family members. We have to get away. That's something that the Lord impresses on us, and that's the first thing I say to people in that situation. And I still minister to hundreds of people who are in that place and don't know that they have an option. And I say the first thing you have to do is separate. Get away from these people. You are not obligated to be oppressed. The Lord says you have to be far from oppression. And so this is a societal disease that people have to put up with all these things, which is why for a great percentage of the population, things like Christmas and Thanksgiving are a nightmare.
Yeah,
very
tough.
When it's over, they're so relieved. Yeah.
And in the Bible, too, I mean, we see Jesus had issues where the family wasn't understanding, and he said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? It's the one that does God's will. And then Joseph's brothers, another example, they turned on him.
Yeah.
And they were jealous of Joseph. And I would think, as you and your husband now, this 50-plus-year marriage, I would think just the fact that you were coming to the Lord, creating a healthier family, that there was probably some jealousy. I mean, I'm not God, and I'm not the expert family expert, but I would imagine there was some jealousy of you as you broke away from the whole Hollywood thing with your mom to try to create
a good
marriage.
Well, I don't know whether there was or not, because I really didn't have anything much to do with that whole world once I got married. I didn't want to have anything to do with that world. I didn't like that world. I didn't fit in that world, and I saw it as a very twisted, sick place to be. And so we stayed away from it completely. And my husband stayed in the industry for a while. He was in the business side of it. He was in New York, in the New York office of Seven Arts. But it was purely the business side of it, and we didn't have anything to do with the artistic side of it. And so that was a decision we made, and there were opportunities that he had to be part of the studios out in California when Seven Arts, his company, bought Warner Brothers. But he turned it down because we decided we did not want to try and be as we were and have the life we wanted, let alone raise our kids, in Hollywood. We didn't want to risk it. And so we were very separate from it. So what people thought of us, you know, whatever, I don't know, and I frankly didn't care because that was not anything that mattered to me. What mattered to me, even for the 20 years we were married before the Lord came into our lives, was just being us and being healthy and happy and pursuing life as we saw it.
So you and Jeremy truly walked out this thing in Genesis of having to leave mother, father, leave to cleave to one another and make the two of you the unit and not let anyone or anything from the past break you two up.
Oh, yeah. We saw, you know, what was out there, and we defended our relationship and our marriage completely because it was everything to us. And we didn't know anybody who was happily married except us.
Wow,
so
what
funny.
A journey. Can you stay a little overtime with us? If we,
sure.
I'm getting some more time from them, and we'll be right back after a program identification break, and then we'll be right back with you, BD. And those of you listening, if you want to send in a question to Richard Rossi Live at gmail.com, richardrossilive@gmail.com, or just call the number on your screen if you want to send in a question, and we're going to go a little bit over time. We'll be right back with B.D. Hyman.
Bobby, you're doc, but it's a mystery to me why it took so long to get this show on the air. It suddenly ties up all the loose ends with Christian talk. Gee, my wife just loves this show, doc. Attention! All you radio listeners, I want you to listen. Now, if you're like me, you want a show with spirit, why, set your sights on Rich Rossi Live. That's all. At ease.
Back in a few seconds. It's Betty Davis, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, a cult classic film. She starred with her daughter, B.D. Hyman, who's on the line with us. B.D.'s been sharing about her conversion, her 53-year marriage to her husband, Jeremy, and she now is a pastor. You can get free video and audio of her teachings at B.D. Hyman, B as in boy, D as in David, Hyman, HYMAN.com. And Victoria has sent in a question from Wheeling, West Virginia. She's asking, she said, I wanted to ask you, Richard, and BD on the cable show Feud, if either of you have seen it, and if it's any opinion on the feud between Betty and Joan Crawford. I haven't seen the show myself. I have read about it. I've seen it
yeah,
in the trades and the newspapers.
Yeah, it was silly. First of all, there was no feud. It was a publicity gimmick to try and develop interest in the movie at the time. Both my mother and Joan Crawford were totally self-absorbed. They had no interest one way or the other in each other. They were both, you know, the center of their own universe. And so there was no feud, and it was, the whole thing was kind of ridiculous, and, you know, that was fine. That was the world being the world. But it really didn't bear a whole lot of resemblance to the actuality of it. It just sort of made it up as it went along. And so that was, you know, that was that. But it did cause a lot of people to come and check out the website, and a lot of people have, you know, I've contacted literally thousands of people because of they've contacted me, I should say, because of that show, who suddenly realized that there was something going on they wanted to find out about. And I also wanted to tell your listeners, encourage them to, you know, to really think about getting this book that's on my website, The Rapture, the Tribulation, and Beyond, because the end time is not nearly as confusing as most people make it to be. I'm firmly convinced that the smoke that God talks about rising out of the pit at the end is all the charts of the end time being burned up. That's my personal little joke, because they're all so ridiculous. It's a confusing mess because of the way people talk about it, and it's not necessary for it to be. You can understand, folks, what's going on, why it's going on, and what's going to happen next, and how you can fit into the solution and get out of the problem, how you can be part of God's plan for all of the good things to come. So,
and by the way,
Cece,
I have
to
compliment your artwork, and, you know, like Proverbs says, let another man's lips praise thee and not thine own. I have to say you're a tremendous artist. For those of you listening, on her website, bdhyman.com, there's a picture of BD in front of a painting, which is the cover of the book that she's
mm-hmm.
referencing. And it's a beautiful painting. You're a gifted artist of Jesus, as described in Revelation, on the white horse, light coming off of Jesus. And it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of artwork.
It's the moment when Jesus, with all of the body of Christ, who were referred to, all of us, referred to as the armies of heaven, ride back from the heavenlies for the battle of Armageddon with Jesus at our head. And that's the moment, and it's Revelation 19:11 through 16 is what is depicted there. And
what is the reference again, BD, the biblical
passage?
It's
Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16 is what is depicted in that painting. And
okay.
It's such a triumphant moment when finally Satan is going to be put in the pit and all those who follow him, which actually the Bible numbers as 200 million, are going to be destroyed when Jesus and we all together speak the word. And the Bible says they melt like wax. And it's an awesome moment, and that's why I painted that particular painting.
Very, very beautiful and inspired and powerful painting. I love the painting of Jesus that you did there. David in Akron, Ohio says, what are your memories when you did make the Baby Jane film? What do you remember about that, what the experience was like for you?
Well, it really, at the time, wasn't that big a deal. I was on the set with Mother, which I always was because she insisted, and there was a part for a girl next door, very short, couple of scenes for the mother and daughter next door, and the director, Robert Aldrich, said, I haven't cast the girl next door. And he looked at me and he said, Edie, you have a actor's card, you know, the union thing. And he said, you're the right age. Would you mind doing it for us? Because I just haven't got time to try and find someone. And I said, no, that's fine. I'll do it. And he said, here are the pages. Memorize them tonight. We're going to shoot tomorrow. Go to wardrobe. They'll get some stuff for you, and we'll see you in the morning. And so I showed up at 8. We did the scenes, and that was it. So it was just kind of a, you know, okay.
Well, you did a great job, and you didn't have much prep time then, huh?
It wasn't really needed prep time. It was a very simple, straightforward little short scene, you know. So it was something that I was quite used to, and it was. And I went on talk shows with Mother. I was on stage with Mother. I was always in the public. So it really didn't present itself as anything extraordinary. And it actually stood me in very good stead when I went into ministry, because getting up in front of people was like second nature to me.
Well, that was my next question, is there's a lot of parallels. And, you know, the people that study fear say the number one fear is fear of death, but something like, I think, two is getting up and speaking in front of people. So for you as a pastor to teach, you've done that hundreds of times anyways.
Yeah, it was perfectly natural to me. Yeah, perfectly natural to me. It didn't faze me a bit. So that a lot of my life leading up to meeting the Lord, and certainly leading up to ministry, I was being prepared for during my prior life without my being aware of it. You know, I mean, for instance, Jesus said they hated me and they will hate you. Well, I was used to that. I was used to nasty things being written about me in newspapers and all sorts of things. And I didn't really care. I just pushed it aside and said, well, whatever anybody wants to think, that's fine. It's their problems, not mine. And so when people started saying derogatory things and ugly things about me in ministry, which everybody does, I really didn't care. So it was good training.
What would you say to someone that does care for whatever reason? Maybe they have, when someone criticizes them, it demoralizes them, and they have problems, you know, getting back up from that. It wounds them. How do you get to that point of shaking it off the way you do?
This is up to them. Of course, you know, trying to do it in your natural self is difficult if you've not had any experience. With the Lord, it's easy because you have His power working within you, and you have a whole different dynamic, a whole different set of thoughts. But basically, it's their responsibility. If they choose to be a victim, if they choose to let what other people say define them, then they're going to be subject to that all their lives. They have to decide that they're not going to care. They have to decide that what other people say is not going to define their lives. And when you come to Christ, He gives you the strength to do it. He gives you the ability to do it. You can do it of yourself, but it's much more difficult. But people have the choice to let others define them or to move on and, frankly, grow up and be who they choose to be. And if people are tearing you down, then get away from those people. You're not obligated to stay there.
That's excellent. And is it because also you know what Jesus and the Scriptures say about you, that you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you're His daughter, and it doesn't matter what someone else says because what He says trumps that.
That makes it much easier, of course. Of course, and we need to define ourselves, and it's much, much easier when we are part of Christ, define ourselves as God defines us and not as people do, because that's always going to be a problem. There are always going to be people who don't like you, who call you ugly things. People have written every ugly thing about me because I speak the truth that you could possibly imagine, and some that you would never have even thought of. And we just don't pay attention to them.
Let me ask you another one. I know that we're out of time and all that, and actually over time, but coming from some parallels to your life with a parent that was mentally ill in and out of mental hospitals, and with similar background to what you had to deal with a parent in some ways, when I've spoke the truth about it to seek healing and to move forward, sometimes people will put you down for that. And I've heard things like, you know, don't hang out the dirty laundry, or in the Bible, one of Noah's sons uncovered the father's nakedness, and that was he was cursed and all that. I'm imagine that with your speaking the truth about some of the things, because people adored and worship your mother, the Betty Davis
fan.
I would imagine there's people that said, you know, what kind of a Christian are you for saying negative things?
They call me despicable, horrible, you know, all sorts of things. But the fact is that the Lord says to expose the darkness. And it would have been impossible for me to help others get out of these horrible, oppressive circumstances unless they knew that I knew what I was talking about, unless I'd lived through it. You know, it's like when I minister to people who are in final stages of cancer and they've just discovered the truth. And I tell them, hey, when I finally hit this thing that I had years ago, I was in stage 4 of cancer. The doctor that I went to find out what I had so I could pray against it told me I had 45 days to live. And the pain was indescribable. And so I've been there, done that. And that helps people to know that you've been in that place, whether it's a totally abusive parent, whether it's a disease, whatever it may be, that I was there, I did it God's way, and it worked. I was healed. I was delivered. And what God says is true. If you do it His way, you get His results. And so it's, you know, if I hadn't, what the world calls, you know, aired the dirty linen, whatever you want to call it, nobody would have known that I understood what they were going through.
Mm.
And so it did help in that. But the Lord says to expose the darkness. Do not, you know, he names people in the Bible. He says, you know, don't stay away from these people because they're spreading false doctrines. They're going to destroy you.
Mm.
He doesn't keep it silent.
Excellent point, because, you know, just in this past year, as we've been shooting a film about the false versus the true in Christianity, the fact we've even said, hey, this guy is lying to get money or faking miracles, we got hit by a lot of Christian people saying, that's divisive in the body, don't say names.
Oh,
and yet,
never
Bible,
speak ill of God's anointed. But
so touch not God's anointed. Yeah, that's the big one. And yet Paul in the letter says, Alexander the coppersmith hath done me harm. This guy is
Hymenaeus and Philetus, all sorts of people. And the thing is that, first of all, they're assuming that that person is God's anointed just because he says so.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be true. And the fact is that we are supposed to expose the darkness and speak the truth. That's what we're supposed to do. The truth is everything. And without that, we're all going to just be running in diminishing circles. But it is possible to live in this insane world, which is not going to get any better, but not be of it, be within the kingdom, and function in God's peace, God's joy, God's wholeness, and escape the horror that's going to come during the tribulation and be part of His eternal kingdom. And that's worth everything, absolutely everything. And you're only going to get there if you are operating in the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The Bible says that false doctrine puts you under a curse. The first chapter of Galatians says twice that false doctrine puts you under a curse. Why? Because false doctrine is the devil's lies. And if you believe the devil's lies, he will curse you. And that's the bottom line. So we have to be here for those who, as Jesus said, have ears to hear, meaning who will accept the actual truth and put aside all of the garbage that they've been told all their lives. And I say to people all the time when they call me, because people can call me. They can call me directly. My number is on my website. They can email me. I have an email on the website. And the thing is that, you know, I tell them that they have to get real about this, because there's only one way that works. And if they choose that way and get rid of all the rest of it, then they will have God's blessing. If they want to do it their way, they're going to get the same results they've always gotten. And that's why Jesus said, only a few will find the narrow path that leads to life, because only a few will find it. It's available to everyone, but only a few really want it. And so we have to get away from the false doctrine, and we have to find out what the real truth is, because false doctrine has become mainstream teaching. And it's sad, but it's up to each individual to choose to find out what God really says.
Well, thank you so much, BD, for being on our show and for all your time today.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
And blessings to you and Jeremy and your two sons. And
same to you.
and we'll pass people along to you. Have a good rest of your day, blessed day. And for those of you who are wanting to get more information on B.D. Hyman, as we're in our closing seconds here, go to bdhyman.com. And I'm very grateful for all of you supporting this show. And it's been just such an interesting hour. And just so you know, this hour with B.D. Hyman, Betty Davis's daughter, is now, within about 5 minutes, will be live in perpetuity, where you can share the replay for people that were working or weren't able to tune in. This link will be good to replay the interview at any time. And just so you all know, upcoming shows, I was visiting my aunt in Florida, my dear Aunt Margie, and she passed along a book to me called Waking Up in Heaven, and asked me to read it. And I'll be having the author on September 16th, Crystal McVeigh. She's a mom, a school teacher. She was clinically dead for a period of time, and talks about heaven and about Jesus and going to heaven. And you can hear her testimony and her account and decide whether you believe her or not. And it's quite an interesting thing. So we'll be with her, and of course some other celebrities coming up on the show coming up. Just follow the show. And thank you, everybody, for listening. It's been quite an interesting hour. So please share this show. I think it's be very fascinating to many of your friends who are Betty Davis fans. And thank you again to B.D. Hyman for coming on the show. And thank you for tuning in today to Richard Rossi Live.